Y'all ready? Got your seatbelts buckled? All right. The next theme in our leadership development program is the goodness of God. And I'm not going to parrot what we're going to learn in that. This is fresh revelation from God, and I'm excited about it. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Amen. Well, can I get control of this? Yes. Let's just talk a minute about the word good and goodness. How many of you would agree that the word good is relative? Probably don't understand this picture. Shortly after the Vietnam War, this was noticed as part of the practice of the people living there. If a man was taking his cattle from one place to another, he would have his wife walk first in line, and then his cattle, and then he would follow in case there were mines in the road. Now, in that culture, in that environment, they consider that what? Good. They consider that good. In many African nations, it's considered good to beat your wife. In fact, when some of our missionary friends, Paul Petrie, whose name I want to mention again in a few minutes, when he and some others first went to the Congo and then subsequently to Kenya, one of their biggest challenges was to teach the pastors not to beat their wives. And then the problem became more complicated because the wives thought, well, maybe you don't love me because all the other wives are getting beaten, and I'm not getting beaten. You know, it gets very convoluted, to say the least. I know that to us, that's despicable. But this is, in that culture, that was considered good. This is a Hindu festival. These men have fish hooks in their backs. And, is that too much for everybody? Okay, sorry. I can't cover it up. I'm sorry. Just close your eyes. To inflict pain on yourself like that is considered good. Yeah. Now I'm gonna turn the tables a little bit on you here. I think I am. Next one. Hello. Did I lose control again? What happened? Huh? I'm just not in control this morning. There we go. Who's that? Anybody know? Madonna. It's a little dated picture. It was one of the safest ones I could show. And I don't want to get into Miley Cyrus this morning, but anyway, she's wearing a what? Okay. Now, in the Muslim culture, which with many of you know I've become very familiar in recent years, they think, in Islam, you're born into Islam. So they believe everybody in the West is born into Christianity. So they believe Madonna is a Christian. And of course, she's wearing a cross, so that further proves that. So their argument is, you all think that is good. We don't want our daughters growing up thinking that is good. You see? So now would you agree with me that good can be a relative term? Yes? Okay, thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me. Now, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I really regret not being here with Georgian. But the plans I'd made were preceded his. We just learned just a couple weeks ago that he wanted to come to our church, so we're honored. But I'd already made plans to go to a memorial service. This is a picture of a woman named Rebecca Petrie, and that's her husband, Paul. Tremendous man and woman of God. And they've been serving on the mission field since 1985, and Brussels, Belgium primarily. I mentioned Paul, though, being in Africa as well. And on October 4th, 2001, Rebecca was hosting a Bible study for a number of women. And in Belgium, in their homes, the kitchen's on the second floor. So she was carrying a tray of tea to her guests, walking down the steps. She blacked out. She fell to the bottom of the steps, broke her neck, and she was not breathing. Fortunately, a woman that helps with her with cleaning the house and all happened to be there that day, knew CPR, was training to be a nurse, and basically saved her life. From that day forward, Rebecca was a quadriplegic. And you might ask, where's God's goodness? If God is good, how could he allow something like this to happen? Wonderful woman, mother. In that previous picture, there were three children. They actually have four, three sons and a daughter, all of whom are married now. Most of whose wedding she could not attend because they were in the States and she couldn't travel out of Brussels, Belgium. Rebecca wrote a book a few years ago, Falling into His Grace. Falling into His Grace. The power of a life laid down. Let me read you just a portion from that book. February 15th, 2007. This week, I'm living in Ephesians 3, letting the roots of my healing go deep into the richness of the words. Today, as I was reading verse 7, there was a, quote, substitution, unquote, that popped into my mind. Paul says, I became a minister. And I read, I became a quadriplegic, according to the gift and grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. I'll read that again. I became a quadriplegic according to the gift and grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. And then verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. To Rebecca's dying day, which she passed away just before the beginning of the year, due to an infection in her body. I would read her blogs on a regular basis, and she talked of nothing but God's goodness, repeatedly, over and over and over. She saw God's hand in every aspect of her daily life, every detail. She was an amazing woman. And so I'm traveling to Columbus to honor her memory with many others next Saturday. But I want us to gain a better understanding of what is God's goodness. And let me begin here. God's goodness is not only an expression of what he does, but is an integral part of who he is. God is good. God is good. Father, we just thank you this morning for the privilege and the opportunity again to plumb the depths of your word. Lord, we believe that you are good. We declare that this morning. And Father, as we seek to understand and better know and embrace and incorporate into our lives and that understanding of your goodness. God, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts today. Lord, speak to each one of us, I pray. Speak to our minds, speak to our hearts, speak to our spirits, Lord. Allow us to receive all that you have for us, Father. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 1 reads, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 34, we just read, taste and see that the Lord is good. When Jesus appeared on the scene, he said, I am the good shepherd. Yes? He also said a lot of things. Where's Nick back there? There he is. Yes. He said, I am the good shepherd. I mean, think about that a minute. I mean, we know that. We've heard that a million times. We've lived in that. But there's a million other terms he could use. You know, I'm the best shepherd. I'm the only shepherd. I'm the one. And, you know, I mean, fill in the adjectives. But he chose, I am the good shepherd. Jesus was God's goodness personified in the man. Jesus was God's goodness personified in himself. God's goodness personified in him as a man. There we go. I also want us to see that God's goodness is first experienced in his creation. Notice in Genesis, every time God created something, he said it is what? It is good. It is good. And then at the very end of all of his creation, after he created everything he created, verse 31 of chapter 1 of Genesis, the scripture reads, God saw all that he made and it was what? Very good. It was very good. So, and we see this, Dave Fritz is in Sunday school, but he's always posting pictures on Facebook, a sunrise, sunset, you know, oh, the beauty, the goodness of God, the glory of God, you know, and we've all seen that, and some of you probably do the same thing, but how many people who even don't fully know the Lord will look at a beautiful sunrise or sunset and just marvel in it, you know, and just marvel in the beauty of God's creation. And we see it in so many different ways. So we see that God's goodness was first experienced in that, his creation. I also want us to see, thirdly, that God's goodness is wrapped in his glory. Amen. Have you ever thought of that? God's goodness is wrapped in his glory. Now, I can't take credit for this one. Paul Manwaring helped me to see this. And he first brought it to my attention. And I hope to bring it to your attention. Exodus 33. If you remember the story of Moses, he's having this discussion with God. He's kind of arguing with God, really. And he says, God, if you don't go with us, we might as well not go. Forget it. We might as well just stay here forever. He says, you need to go with us. We need you to go with us. And so the Lord answered Moses, I will do this very thing you've asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And then Moses said, please, let me see your glory. And God said, I will cause all my what? Goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. So Moses says, God, I want to see your glory. And God says, I'm going to show you my goodness. His goodness and glory are wrapped together. Isn't that amazing? You know, we sometimes are seeking God's glory and we are missing it because it's right there in his goodness. Sometimes we see his goodness and we don't realize that that's a reflection of his glory. Yeah. God's glory is wrapped in his goodness. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yes. The scripture also teaches us that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The goodness of God. Some translations use the word kindness. But actually, I believe the most accurate is goodness, but you can use kindness if you prefer that. Doesn't make any difference to me. But God's goodness leads to repentance. And how foreign that is to some of our upbringing. Wow, Nick. Nick, I told you to laugh at the end of my message, not the beginning. Okay. That's good. Yeah. The goodness of God leads to repentance. We want to beat people in repentance sometimes, don't we? We want to scold them. We want to tell them how unworthy they are. We want to tell them what sinners and how horrible they are. And yet the scripture teaches us that it's God's goodness. If you don't believe me, look at this. Romans 2:4, Paul writing, are you despised the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Titus 3:4-5, but when the goodness of God and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Wow. God is good. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. It's amazing to me. Tom and I are having a conversation earlier before this meeting. In Islam, there are 99 words for God in Islam. It's believed there's actually 100 names for God, and that the camel is the only one that knows the 100th name. Seriously. And of those 99 names, which speak of righteousness, justice, etc., goodness even, not one name is love. God is not considered, Allah is not considered a God of love. So Muslims don't know the love of God. See? But God, in his goodness, is revealing it to them. One of the ways he's doing it is through dreams. And you know, we all have dreams, and those of us that are charismatic, which I think are most of us in here, we kind of put a little more stock in some of our dreams than other people do. And sometimes we might put a little too much stock in it, I know, but anyway. But in the Islamic culture, they put a lot of stock in dreams, every dream. It's important. Dreams are important to them. So isn't it interesting that God is using that doorway to visit Muslims? They are having dreams. And now there needs to be more than the dream. The dream isn't eliciting a bedside conversion. But literally the person's going, wow, now I know who that Jesus is. Isa in Islam. I know who Isa is that someone was telling me about. I know who Isa is that this neighbor of mine came to know. I know who this Isa is because I saw him in a dream. I know that he is real. God's kindness, his goodness that's touching their hearts, something they've not experienced before. God's goodness leads us. And I'd like to suggest to us, you know, I think most of us are far enough along in our walk with God that we understand that there is a time of repentance when we come to faith, when we just say, Lord, you know, I want to change my life. You know, I think I've shared this before, but when I had that experience in my own life, June of 1972. I remember talking to my mom. My father had died a few years before. Back porch of her home, summer night. Mom, I think I want to be a Christian. Her saying, don't do anything foolish before your senior year. Don't do anything that might mess things up. And I said, well, I don't want to be a wishy-washy Christian. Everybody understand what that means? It's either going to be 100% or nothing. And that night, I went out to a desolate place near my home on a golf course. I didn't even play golf, but I knew nobody would be out there in the middle of the night. And I gave my heart to Jesus. I just said, Lord, forgive me my sin. Lord, come into my life. I want to serve you. And when I came back to school, my classmates had not known of the change that occurred. And they were all real excited. Wow, this is our senior year. Man, we're going to go out. We're going to party. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to be doing all that. And they're like, what's wrong with him, you know? And so one guy said, well, first it was Easy Rider. That's what they nicknamed me, Easy Rider. If you ever saw the movie, they nicknamed me after Peter Fonda. First it was Easy Rider. Then it was Jimi Hendrix. Now it's Jesus. Just give him a little time. He'll outgrow it. Well, praise God, 40-something years later, I still haven't outgrown it, you know. And what's even more amazing is because of God's goodness, several of my classmates have also come to faith. It's really exciting to see the change that God wrought in their lives. So we all know that, but I want to encourage us that, you know, repentance means to what? To turn around, to change our thinking, to change the way we're viewing life, yes. And so all through our journey with God, there are times when we need to repent. There are times when we've gone the wrong direction. There's times when we've believed the wrong thing. There's times when we've embraced the wrong philosophy, whatever it might be. And then again, God comes to us in his goodness. And he says, hey, you're going the wrong way. It's over here. Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you, Lord. This is goodness. His goodness leads to repentance. And the reason that is this. God's wrath and judgment were poured out on his son, Jesus Christ, so that his goodness could be poured out on you and through you. Can I say that again? God's wrath and judgment were poured out on his son, Jesus Christ, so that his goodness could be poured out on you and through you. Paul writes in Philippians, I'm sure of this, that he who began a what kind of work? A good work in you will carry it on to completion of the day of Christ Jesus. Later in Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and work out his good purpose. He puts a desire in our hearts. We had that prophetic word this morning. It was Justin gave it, right? About the fire under our feet. Yeah, some people feeling that. He puts a desire in your heart. Okay, he both enables you and gives you that. I would worded differently. He gives you desire and enables you to, but that's the way God wanted it written, so anyway, I don't want to argue with that, to work out his what? Good purpose. To work out his good purpose. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Okay, we all know that we're not saved by our works, but God created us to do good works. He created us. So he says, I'm going to give you the desire, I'm going to enable you, and see you through because of the goodness that I've poured out into your life through Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Lastly, I want us to see this. The goodness of God is intended for our nourishment. That's kind of different, isn't it? Continued for our nourishment. Remember, we began with the words from Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. I didn't highlight that one. Sorry about that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This just came to me as I was preparing for today. I thought about Matthew 26, verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, or gave thanks for, some translations say, and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Wow. The psalmist, taste, see, the Lord is good. Jesus saying, take me, I am good. You believe that? He's good. God wants us to feed on his what? Goodness. Yeah. He wants us to feed on his. I was so thrilled by the prophetic words that came this morning, all the different ones that spoke, because they all spoke about God's goodness. They were encouragement to us. Fred began it, and Linda shared, various ones shared. And then even later, Karen's word about the snow. And I can't take credit for this. It was a prophetic word that came out on Friday with a group of us. But when we see the snow on the ground and we bemoan all the shoveling and all the disruption that creates, I was just writing in my prayer journal the other day. I said, Lord, you know, this winter, I love the snow. Linda loves it even more than I do. But it disrupts your schedule. And I realized I'm a person who likes, it doesn't everything have to be exactly right every day, but I like the rhythm of life, okay? And it disrupts the rhythm, you know? And I found that I was missing things and forgetting things and all sorts of things were getting displaced. And I realized I was out of rhythm, you know? And, yeah, that's okay. You don't need to feel sorry for me. But anyway, but the prophetic word was that the snow, you know, we see the snow, but what we don't see is what's going on underneath it. And as, you know, with all the snow and rain we've had this winter, what kind of spring are we going to have? It's going to be, yeah, popping. I mean, it's going to just burst forth with color, isn't it? And so as the snow comes in our life, sometimes we don't realize that it's really God's goodness and that underneath there's stuff happening, stuff that God wants to break forth, stuff that God wants to birth and bring to life and to renew. Amen. Did I miss something there? Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to taste of the Lord this morning. We're going to have a little tasting. Yeah, a little tasting, you know. You have those food tasting things. We're going to have a little tasting. So I've got some bread, some challah. Yeah, challah. And there's a great song that the folks at Bethel, the Jesus Culture, wrote called Taste and See That the Lord is Good. So we're going to play that song. I would let the worship team do it, but I want them to partake too, you see. So they're going to be able to enjoy this as well. And I want you to not only to partake of a little piece of bread, but just to start partaking of the Lord. Just the bread's just representative of that. You know, just begin all around the room. Just begin to taste his goodness this morning for you. The goodness that God has created for you. And I'm going to ask Fred and Bob to help me pass this out. But first I'm going to consecrate it to the Lord. Father, we thank you that your body was broken for us. And we thank you, Lord, that as you took this bread on the night in which you were betrayed, the last supper you spent with your disciples, that last Passover meal, that you, the Lamb of God, said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. Take and eat of it." And so, Lord, we consecrate this bread to you. And we pray that as we partake of it, that we would taste of your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, just to partake as you receive. Just break off a little piece and just enjoy. And as we do, we'll start. By the way, this is an upbeat song, and I want this to be an upbeat time, okay? God's goodness isn't supposed to be experienced with a look on your face like you just drank lemon juice. You know, it's supposed to be experienced with joy, huh? Yes, amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. Good. Oh, taste and say.
As I say, he's good. All the time, all the time. He is good. One more thing we want to do before we're dismissed. Everybody could be seated, except for Ronnie Cole. Right, Ronnie Cole. Today is Ronnie Cole's birthday. So we want to honor Ronnie. We want to bless you, Ronnie. But first, we want to sing to you as we pray God's goodness upon you. Here we go. Blessings, blessings, blessings on Ronnie Cole. Father, bless our brother in a special way this year. May your goodness come upon him. Healing, grace, and mercy.